The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
This is Elizabeth Say, and you're listening to Dave and Mike of Odyssey Files, the best paranormal radio show to come out of Minnesota yet.
Good evening, everybody. It is about 6:01 right now instead of 6 o'clock. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. And with me, as always, is Mr. David Soiring. How are you on this Monday, Dave?
For a Monday, I'm doing good. Can't complain.
Yeah, me too. I'm actually not doing too shabby. Although, for whatever reason, and I've no idea why, it feels like a very, very long time has passed since we did a show. And that's not the case, because we did one last week. But I was walking up the stairs today, and I was just kind of thinking about the show, and I'm like, man, I hope I'm ready for this, because it's been a long... I'm like, no, it's not. It has been a long time. I don't know. A lot has changed since last week.
Yeah, I think I know what it is.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's because this last weekend was so exciting and so good that it feels like about 2 weeks worth of joy just in 3 days. I think that's what it is. So it kind of, because I kind of felt that way today too. I was kind of like, you know, it's Monday. I got to go back to work. That sucks. But then I'm kind of thinking, you know, I'm still kind of on a high from this weekend. And I'm like, that's a good thing. I'm like actually smiling when my alarm went off this morning. And I'm like kind of excited to, well, not really excited to get up and like, you know, go to work. But I was excited to get up and then kind of like replay the thoughts in my head of all the great things that happened this weekend. So
Yeah. Because of this weekend, I even sent you the email, or not the email, the text message this morning. Just be like, well, this email went out and that email went out. And I emailed this person, emailed that person. I know. Everything's all set up.
Yeah. I was like, man, busy boy this morning.
I was. I was a very busy boy. And then making other sorts of plans and just, wow. I mean, it was... if only every day could just be like a set of things that I had to do instead of get up and, you know, like eat breakfast and then like go try to find something to do.
Yeah. If every day could be like this weekend was, I'd probably live to be about 150 years old. So
I don't think so, because even though as awesome as this weekend was, and I don't know why we keep referring to this weekend, because we're actually going to talk about what happened this weekend.
We are.
But I think we would die in 10 years. It was exhausting.
Well, it was exhausting, but let's just hypothetically say we got paid like a substantial amount of money every single time we did something like this.
Oh, so, yeah, 150 years old.
Absolutely. Right, exactly. And so we got like Monday through Thursday off, and then we had to work Friday, Saturday, and then maybe Sunday morning, and then we got to go have a buffet and football time and hang out with our friends. I'm thinking 140, 150. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have a hard time stopping us. Yeah. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
So we talked about it last week at the end of the show with Mr. Jim Winter, who is a member of my Dubuque chapter. And
I got this. Can I interject here?
Just in absolutely
case,
you can.
In case Jim's listening. Jim, I just want to tell you how important you are. I just want you to know how important you are, because you felt so bad on the ride home yesterday that you didn't get the glorious shout out that some of our other guests have gotten. And I just want you to know that Mike and I both adore you, and that, you know, one of these days you're going to be getting all the glamour and all the love ahead of time.
That's right. I actually forgot about that, but just to embarrass him even more.
Right.
He was upset that he did not get a graphic.
Right.
Like all of our other guests do.
He was.
And we tried to tell him that when he becomes a big name, like we know he will be.
Yep.
Right along with us, right along with Dave and myself, that he will for sure get a very nice graphic.
Absolutely.
Yep. Made for, like everybody else, with Microsoft Paint.
Right. Yep. Microsoft Paint. Great program. Been around since like 1993.
Yes. And they haven't changed a thing on it since that day. Every version of Windows that comes out, rest assured, Microsoft Paint has not been touched.
Nope. You can't mess with the classic. It's like Mario Brothers. Or Pac-Man.
In fact, and this is kind of giving away a little something here, but did you see how hard Grant laughed when I told him that I used Microsoft Paint?
I did. Yeah, I did. He thought that was. He was thinking we were like. He's like, what? What? You guys use Microsoft Paint? We're like, well, you know.
Do you guys do Photoshop? And I'm like, no.
I'm like, Photoshop. What the heck is that?
I'm like, I use Paint, man. I'm like, I don't have a clue how to use Microsoft Photoshop.
No.
But so anyway, this weekend, Paracon 2017. There were a lot of good things, a lot of great things. There really wasn't. And the only bad thing,
disappointments. Yes.
That happened this week or this weekend. That Josh Gates, who was supposed to be there, got. I don't know, completely bamboozled with airline flights and was not able to make it.
Yeah. And give the guy some credit though, because I heard he was in Egypt shooting, his new show, an episode or whatever, and that he was like frantically trying to get back. So, I mean, I already like the guy, but I really like the guy who's going to like haul ass back from Egypt so he can come hang out with Mike and I, because he knew we were going to be there in Minnesota at the Shooting Star Casino.
Yes. Completely agree. But yeah.
I love the guy.
It was the only time of the weekend when I first heard about it on Friday. It might even be the only time in my life that I think I felt heartache. Like pain in the chest. When I first heard.
Yeah.
That he was not going to be there. I was hugely looking forward to, you know, shaking his hand and just, you know, I don't know, just tell him that he's awesome.
I just wanted to absorb some of his greatness. I was just going to like stand by him and just let the greatness soak into me so I could become even better than I already am. That's what I was thinking.
I absolutely would have tried to stand just by him until security removed me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We'd have taken security out. We'd have been there for a while. Cause we'd have had some people lay down, you know, do like some sort of protest thing that had to step on people. It would have been beautiful.
I would have handcuffed myself to his booth. and then they would have moved him out of that booth.
I was going to say, you got me on that one. I would not have handcuffed myself to his booth, but I certainly would have been I certainly was looking forward to meeting him. So,
yes, as was I, but in retrospect, for what we got in return, because I got Ghost Adventures not being there, which was awesome. And then in lieu of that, they actually brought in Chris and Porter from Ghost Asylum and now Haunted Towns. So, I mean, it was kind of a give and take. Because, I mean, we didn't get Amy Allen, which I really was looking forward to. Josh Gates obviously didn't show up or wasn't able to show up. So that was a disappointment. But Ghost Adventures was not there. So, huge plus. And then Chris and Porter. So, two minuses, two positives. Hey, we break even.
There you go. And Chris and Porter were very nice guys. And we got a chance to spend a couple minutes with them. And they were very gracious. And, you know, they seemed like they were excited to be there. So, that was a bonus. And I like Ghost Asylum. So, that I haven't seen the new show, but I really liked Ghost Asylum. So...
Right, and so since we brought up Chris and Porter, and they were only there on noon on Saturday and to 6, and that was it. And then they were at the bar that night.
Right.
So I'm going to skip over a couple steps here so we can, because I want to tell this story about what happened Saturday night. So Dave, Jim, Allie, and myself, Allie, another team member from Dubuque who came up for the Paracon with us. We're all just sitting at the bar, hanging out, talking, having fun. And Grant Wilson shows up. And you know, we had a talk with Grant. I mean, we have a lot of stories of Grant from this weekend. All phenomenal. And I can't wait to share them.
Yep.
But so he shows up and starts talking with me and Jim. And then Jim like went to talk to somebody else or something. But so I was talking with Grant for a bit, and he was reminded by Lindsay, his, I don't know, what is Lindsay, assistant?
I'm going to say she's like the most awesome assistant that any guy could ever have.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I couldn't believe like how attentive, and she knew everything, that was going on.
Right.
So he gets reminded that that their reservation in this nice steakhouse that they have in this casino called 218, their reservations are for 7:30. And we had a reservation for 8. And so I mentioned that to him. I was like, oh, yours is 7:30. We have a reservation at 8. He's like, oh, really? Your reservation's at 8. I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you want to join us? Yes.
I stood right up, started walking in before he did. I was like, sure, steaks. Yep, we're going to eat. All right, let's go.
But, I mean, to just out of the blue, just have that invitation sent over to us, you know, just so nonchalant, like, hey, why don't you join us? Yes, I would love that. And so, well, he went to Lindsay again to make sure that was all right. And she didn't know. And he's like, well, you know, I'll find out and, you know, I'll let you know. And, true to his word. I mean, he came out like probably 10, 15 minutes later and stuff like that. And he waved us in.
Yep.
You know, he was like, hey, come on, let's go.
Yep.
But as it turned out, he had miscounted. So we had 5 people and they had 4 seats and 2 of the seats of those 4.
Yeah, we're saved.
They said we're saved for Porter and Chris.
Right.
So I'm like, whatever. You don't need them at the table.
Not when you got Mike and Dave.
Exactly. Exactly. And Jim and Allie.
Right.
And, well, they're with them.
Wait. Yes, I agree. They're important, but that they're working their way up. So
right.
Exactly. So I said, you could have Chris and Porter. Or you could have Mike and Dave.
Yes.
I think totally we should have had Mike and Dave, and then Mike and Dave's guests, who were Jim and
Jim Alley, and let's completely forget about Matt.
No, I'm sorry. Matt was there. I'm sorry. That was not – Matt, I'm sorry. That was not intentional.
Well, no, it was intentional for me because I was going to say something else, but
– It was not intentional. I messed up. Right. We had 5 people is what it was.
Right. And so we sat down at the table right next to him. So it's not like we couldn't have been like, you know, hey, Grant, what's up? But, you know, they did their thing. We did ours. we're finished. We finished eating.
Yes.
Chris and Porter hadn't shown up. And right, so and they had already gotten their food. We got our food first, so haha on that one. Yep. But so we're standing up. We had already paid our bill. We're standing up to leave, to go and turn to walk out the door. Here comes Chris and Porter.
Yep.
So our entire meal done, and here they come. So they completely robbed us of having dinner with Grant Wilson and Steve Gonzalez and Dave Tango and Lindsay. And I'm just going to see whose fault it is I can either blame Natalie, which makes sense, or Tori, which makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. Well, Tori.
Tori. I think it was Tori. So, because if Tori wasn't there,
right,
then they would have had five seats, and we definitely could have convinced them to let us. And then Chris and Porter could have just stood behind the table and ate.
Right. Well, they could have taken the Kling brothers' seat, because the Klings were done eating too. Because they finished, and then as they were leaving, they stopped and said hi to us and say, hey, thanks for, you know, it was good to see you guys. And then they were on their way back to Texas.
Well, they were still at the bar that night.
Well, I didn't see them.
They were at the bar for hours.
Oh, well, I was preoccupied.
No, that's fine. Yeah, they're at the complete opposite corner than what we were.
Okay.
But they're hard to miss. So.
Well, no, yeah, no, they're, yeah, right. Like the three of us, the four of us, we make one heck of a like 3, 6, 9, 12. We make one heck of like a 1,250-pound front line.
Yes.
Me, you, Barry, and Brad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then Jim could be a tight end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jim would be a tight end. Absolutely. And Allie's going to run Gatorade in when we're dying of, laying on the ground, can't breathe anymore. She's just going to fire Gatorade in our face and say, get up, you know. So, yeah.
Shockingly, I can see her doing that.
I could, too. I could, too. That's why I put her in there. So,
we actually gave Porter and Chris a lot of crap about taking our spot at the dinner table and then not even showing up on time. We brought it up to them even later at the bar because we wanted them to be guests on our show.
Yep.
And so, you know, I brought that up and that they owed us for, for stealing our place, then being late, and they agreed. So
and Porter knew right away because he started laughing right away. He was like, "Oh yeah, it's you guys." Yep, it's you guys.
He knew what he did. He knew they did wrong.
Yep.
So this morning, one of the emails that I sent out was to Porter on Twitter. Once again, reminded him of the fact that he owed us for stealing our place at the table.
Yep.
And, just asked him if they were still interested in being on a show and blah, 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 and we could work it out. And so far, out of all the emails that I've sent this morning, he is the only one that has responded.
Well, that's good. Is he up for it?
I think he's going to check
with Chris,
like everybody else. Yeah.
Yep.
Basically what I said was, you know, him and Chris or any/all of the Wraith Chasers. And I think I spelled Wraith completely wrong.
Nice going.
So go me on that one.
Yep. Doogie. Got to get Doogie on the show.
Doogie.
Yep.
I hope so. But, so he has responded. He said he's going to, get back with me in a couple days.
Good.
So look forward to that. So that was the story that I wanted to tell right off the bat, since we were talking about, Chris and Porter, but yeah, nice guys. We got photos with them.
Yep.
Which I have not seen yet.
I sent you one and the other one wouldn't send. So you got the one, with the Klings. The other one I'll send you tonight from home.
Nope, that's fine. So Thursday we had the VIP dinner.
Yep.
Which was pretty much just that was open to the public, but it was like $35 a plate.
Yep.
If you looked at the menu, you would have been like, "Wow, this is really good stuff." You know, you got a mashed teeny bar, which I had heard of before but never experienced. Very, very good.
Me also, right? I never had that before, so I mean, it was interesting.
Yes. So basically, for those who don't know what a mashed teeny is, they take a martini glass and they put a like ice cream scoop of mashed potatoes into this martini glass. And then they have like a buffet style, but like these little trays of the toppings, bacon and cheese and sour cream and like nacho cheese. And they had gravy and you put all of this into the martini glass.
Yep.
And you go back to your seat and you eat it. It was actually very, very good. Probably one of the better things. They did the potatoes very well at that place.
Well, let me say this about those potatoes, because
sure,
the highlight of the night is a toss-up. So it was either the mashed potato bar, you know, potato...
Mashed teeny bar.
Mashed teeny, sorry, right. Got to get the lingo right. First time I've been there, so... Or the pie.
Pie was good. Yeah, it's not every day you get strawberry rhubarb.
Rhubarb pie, right. And that was good. So included in that also was a like a 14-ounce steak.
Ribeye.
Yeah, it was a 14-ounce ribeye. It was a ribeye at one time in its life.
Yes, at when some point
on, when it got put on my plate, it was no longer a ribeye.
No.
It was... It was like something that you would potentially use to buff the paint off of a hood of a car before you wanted to shoot your final coat or something along those lines. The moo had gone out of my beef. I guarantee you that.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, I guess I understand why they did it. But, I mean, when you're calling it a VIP dinner
right,
and you're charging $35 for this, to have every single steak be the exact same, like you don't even get a choice of medium rare, you know, medium well or just well. I mean, to just be like, here's a 14-ounce piece of meat that is just well done. Everybody is getting well done. And, you know, good luck to you in your life.
Yeah. So, I wish mine would have been well done. It was beyond well.
It was beyond well done.
Yeah, yeah. I could have flipped off my shoe, put it on the plate, and it would have been a close contest between the steak.
I remember my steak was gray.
Oh, it was gray. So was my shoe.
It was gray.
It definitely.
In fact, I was talking with Steph later that night. I think it was later that night.
Yeah,
and she had mentioned. She had mentioned the steak, and I think she said she was hoping to take it home or something like that. And I go, Steph, it would have been liver by the time you would have gotten that home.
Oh yeah,
I mean it was awful. In fact, I had a 16-ounce bone-in ribeye at Steakhouse on Saturday night. Yeah. Oh my, that was a steak.
Yes,
that was a good steak.
That was a good looking steak. Absolutely.
So. But you know, the highlight of the night, obviously, I got to finally meet Grant Wilson.
Yes.
Everybody has always said, whenever, you know, we've mentioned him or whatnot to people who have met him, oh, he's just the nicest guy. He's, you know, he's so, so approachable. And everybody was exactly right. Like there was no exaggeration. Could have been like an exaggeration. They were absolutely correct.
Yes.
He was phenomenal. We're going to talk here pretty soon about something that we debuted at Paracon. And I had actually brought it up to him while we were talking to him that night. And instead of just being like, oh, okay, yeah, like most people would, I mean, he had questions. He even tried to, he gave us advice on like maybe where to go with it. Yep. And how to get it out there. I mean, it was unreal. I mean, there's people like lining up to speak with this guy, and he's just in casual conversation with us about this thing. Like, you know, he was there to talk to us almost.
Right. It felt like that. It did feel like that for a little while. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he even came over and, on Saturday, him and Lindsay were walking through the booths and whatnot, just taking a break. And we had asked him previously to come over and see if what he thought about this FLIR footage that we were, you know, we were showing.
Yep.
And stopped. I mean, he was what there for 5-10 minutes, just looking at this footage and talking to us about it and going over it with us. And what else could it be?
It was every bit of 10 minutes because there was a crowd that formed behind him when he stopped. I mean, there was like a whole mass of people standing behind him. So it was every bit of 10 minutes. Cause then we did the gratuitous photo in our booth and,
oh, that's right. Right. I didn't even count that. Talking
to him and stuff. So, I mean, if you count the whole time he spent with us in our booth, it was at least 10, maybe closer to 15 minutes that he just spent time with Mike and I.
Oh yeah. It was really great.
It really was.
So I assure you that if anybody ever has a chance to meet him and shake his hand, and just want to talk shop with them, and you're like, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, or what, do it. I think he would absolutely love it.
I agree. 1,000%.
Yeah. So highlight of the weekend, obviously, was our, encounters and conversations with Grant Wilson, both, you know, at his booth, at our booth, at the bar, you know, both nights. It was great. Second, obviously, I don't know, for me anyway, the Kling brothers.
Oh, Brad. Well, you know me. I was looking forward to meeting, finally getting to meet them face to face for Brad and Barry. I mean, Brad and I have been talking, you know, occasionally back and forth, but it was nice to actually get to see them face to face and shake hands. And then we did share with them also our clip. Shared with Grant, and they were there a solid, like 6 to 10 minutes. And
not only did they look at the FLIR, but then, Barry stuck around and listened to some EVPs that we had.
Yeah. That one
For people to listen to.
Yep. Yep. We had the EVPs up, like some of our highlight EVPs, and, he got to that one of mine at Farrar, and he just kind of stopped and looked at us. And then he said, you know, I think we might have some stuff. Let me go over and talk to my brother and see if maybe we brought some of our stuff. So, but I will say this, when Brad was sitting there looking at it and we showed it to him and we kind of discussed the whole setup of it. And when
we have it on video too,
right. We do. We have both on video. Both him and Grant. And yes. When I said to him, I said, you know, so what's your final thoughts on that? He said, if that was us and we had caught that, we certainly would have played that. That certainly would have made the cut. So that made both Mike and I kind of like a little bit of pride in the chest swelling up. And, you know, I mean, it was nice. I mean, it was nice to hear from somebody who's been in the business for a long time, is well respected in the business, and saw it and said, you know what, guys, we would have been proud to have showed this on our show. And that made us feel really good. So that was good.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed anybody that took, you know, even the fans that just walked past, like we were so busy.
Busy.
I mean, I actually went like the entire Saturday of, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. without taking a drink of water. You know, I was constantly on the move, or I was constantly answering questions or, you know, explaining, giving the context of the EVPs or, of any of that. And it was a phenomenal experience, to have it. Exhausting, but so worth it. 100%.
Yeah. It was.
Yes. Jason Hawes and Sam and Steve and Tango, who I really didn't get to meet. Although Steve did turn around at dinner and say, "Have I met you before?" to me. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was like, "No." Yep. I should have said, "Yes, you owe me $20. I've been waiting to talk to you about that."
Yeah.
hindsight is 20/20. Arg.
No, then he was kind of talking about his bacon fetish and like how much bacon he consumes, and I'm like, "Yeah, no, you do not eat that much bacon." You know, he's like, "No, you're right. I cut it back." But once again, you know, we stopped to talk to those guys. The little bit of time we got to spend with them, extremely gracious, unbelievably gracious. Like we were the stars, and they were like the fans.
I wouldn't go that far for everybody, but
no. Right. But for Steve and Tango, it was, I mean,
okay. I actually never got to talk to Tango ever. Okay.
I did. And it was,
okay.
It was like, just, they were just like, "So what are you doing? You know, so how are you? And you know, what's going on? What are you guys doing? And what are you working on?" And, you know, it was kind of like the Kling brothers did, you know, and Barry's like, "Hey man, here's my contact info, you know, let me know what you guys are working on next. I mean, this is exciting stuff that you guys are pursuing." And it was great. It was absolutely great.
It was absolutely. We're going to go to commercial now. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what we debuted at Paracon and how it kind of interacted with the people that we just mentioned, you know, the Grant and Klings and my horrible screw up with Jason Hawes when it came to it. So we're going to go to commercial and then we'll be back. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Parx.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Parx Radio Network for the Paracave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Parx Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Parx part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Parx.
James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series. The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Parx.
This is Dana Mitchell from Ghost of Shepherdstown. When visiting Shepherdstown, be sure to look up my Shepherdstown Mysteries Walk, where a story can be told, but a mystery must be experienced. I've got Dave and Mike on my VIP list, so you can join too.
Dana. I do love Dana very, very much. Welcome back. It is 6:35 Central Time. So, you know, might not be 6:35 your time. So don't go by me unless you live by me. So we're talking about Paracon. And for the rest of the show, we are going to talk about what we debuted there this week. It's something that, you know, we've been alluding to for weeks. I know a few people from Para-X that I sent this to, at least the kind of the first version of it before it was finished, to get their take on it kind of as a focus group. But so we have the Dubuque team, Dubuque, Iowa team. And one of the things that we decided to do, or at least, you know, Dave mentioned this to me, and for whatever reason, I didn't even think of this when I came up with the idea to actually do the Dubuque team. But I had had an idea in my head for a television show that I really thought needed to be done. And it was a show that dealt with the actual training of a paranormal team. And I had just been like, I'm going to put this Dubuque team in because it needs one. And then I told that to Dave, and he's like, well, there you go. He's like, there's your first season. Yeah. I'm like, perfect. I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, you're absolutely right. I'm like, I seriously, I didn't even think of it. And so that's what we did. Well, not completely, but the very first investigation that we did with them was at the Grand Opera House down in Dubuque, and we filmed it. Classroom scenes dealing with the rules, intros for them, the reveal we filmed. I mean, everything that dealt with parts of the investigation we filmed, even though all of it didn't make it in. So I put this together as a pilot episode for what I have named the Paranormal Project. And we debuted it at Paracon. I had brought my, you know, 240 hertz Samsung, you know, 46 inch television, you know, out there, and we hooked up Dave's computer to it with the episode on it, and at the top of every hour we played it. Yep. People could come by and take a look at it for however long they wanted. I don't think one person made it through the entire thing, nor should they have.
No, yeah, I would agree. I don't think anybody made it through, but there were multiple people that sat down for, you know, a solid 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and they were catching it, but at the same time, there was a whole lot. You got to remember too, there was a whole lot of other stuff going on, you know, yes, and if they were only there for a day, there were speakers going on in the auditorium, and there was like two big rooms with all kinds of, just all kinds of stuff related to paranormal and all kinds of teams. I mean, so the fact that they stayed for 10 to 15 minutes, obviously we drew interest, because if they were uninterested, they'd have sat down and 3-4 minutes later, they'd have been out of there.
Yeah. I think one of the things that kind of went against us when it came to that is the fact that we could not have the volume up as high as it needed to be.
I would agree with you 100% on that, because there were people giving us the dirty eye. Every time we tried to turn it up a little bit, we got the, are you showing some type of video? Because I'm trying to sell crystals here, you know?
Well, now I did go over there on day one, I don't know whether they remembered or not. And I was like, you know, if this ever gets too loud, cause it was the TV and the speakers were only pointed at one booth. We were fortunate enough to get a corner.
Yep.
It was only pointed at one booth, and I told them, right off the beginning, I said, you know, is that too loud? And they're like, no, that should be fine. And I'm like, okay, well, if this gets, you know, if it gets to the point where, you know, and it becomes annoyance or an annoyance or whatever, right, just let me know and we'll turn it down immediately. Well, they never said a word.
Nope.
But, I mean, we still tried to be respectful to them and not turn up so it was going to, you know, make it so nobody could hear them trying to sell things.
Right.
But, yeah, I just got the... I got the impression that maybe it was just a little too low. I could not turn it up as high as it needed to be to hear, like, the personal, the disembodied voices and the you know, like the transistor radio and stuff like that.
Yes.
But yes, I saw a lot of people that stopped, you know, even for, you know, a minute. There was a lot of people that just kind of were walking around and just stopped and stared for, you know, a minute, something like that, and then they moved on the way. But nobody said it sucked.
So. Well, I was going to say we'll take that as a win because you know, they actually stopped and looked at what they were looking at. Then they came to the table and they started checking out the equipment that we had.
Well, a lot of people did do that. A lot of people checked out the equipment.
Yep.
And I want to say this is the second highlight of my weekend.
Yep.
Even though it was completely spontaneous and it was not my plan whatsoever, I sold my Ovilus 3.
Yes, you did.
I no longer have an Ovilus 3.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. And for those that know me and maybe some that don't, I despise the Ovilus. I bought it like 3 years ago. I used it a couple times and haven't personally used it. It's been used, but haven't personally used it in probably 2 years.
Right.
And the only reason I did hesitate only because I did not know what I was going to do with that empty spot in my case.
Correct.
But I think I'll just buy another millimeter. It's about the same size.
Yeah.
A little bigger. So we'll get that figured out. But so I was able to sell my Ovilus. But yeah, a lot of people came by with tons and tons of questions. You know, they wanted to try out like the X Cam, they wanted to try out the FLIR, and we managed to scare the crap out of some people with the REM pod, which we didn't tell them was on.
A lot of people. A lot of people.
So they would reach for one thing and hit that antenna, and it would just scare the crap out of them. I mean, it was pretty funny to watch.
It was, yeah.
But so anyway, the show. So we did this filming, and we put it all together, and I was not able. In fact, I was so mad. I had one part in there that was supposed to be in there, and somehow in the final edit, it got dropped. I had forgotten to put it in and did not notice. And that really upset me. And I'm still upset, but, you know, it is what it is. It still is a very, very good episode. It is currently on YouTube. After Paracon, I moved it to the public area. So for anybody that wants to be in the chat room here at ParaX, I'm going to put in the link to go and see it.
Yep.
So that will cover two people. So we're doing good there. That's two more views, maybe. They have some time.
There you go.
but for those that aren't in the chat room, which what would it be like 6,999,000,000? I'm not even going to go all the way to the end.
Well, let's just say more than two. Well, it's a safe
more than two.
It's a safe assumption. It's more than two. So,
it is more than two.
Yeah.
If you want to go on YouTube and you want to watch it, it is 42 minutes. I mean, I made a full length episode for this, and there is going to be more. We've already shot the second investigation. Dave and I are going down in 2 weeks for the third, and then a couple weeks after that, we've already got the fourth. One pretty much set up. We just need to do dates.
Yep.
And so, I mean, this is going to be a full-fledged season as long as we can get it all done and people are actually interested.
Yep.
It's going to be awesome. It really is. We got some phenomenal evidence and personal experiences that were caught on camera. From the first investigation, the FLIR that we've been talking to with Grant and the Klings, and I showed or tried to show Jason Hawes, but completely screwed that up. and that was caught on camera too. good for Jim. But the FLIR evidence is going to blow you away. It's if somebody could tell me what that is, besides a figure.
Yeah, we know it's a figure. We're just yes. There's a lot of debate as to whether it is the woman that they hear upstairs, which we caught disembodied voices and EVPs, or whether that is some type of elemental, depending on the kind of size. And because we were there, we're eyeing up like the fact that it might be a little bit shorter than what we thought it was originally. So we're actually going to sneak back in there this weekend, or I'm sorry, not this weekend, next weekend, 2 weeks from now. When we go down there, we're going to sneak back into the opera house with the FLIR and just spend, 15 minutes trying to debunk it ourselves. But I can tell you right now, after seeing it numerous times and the people who saw it, who have been in the business for a long time, it's a hell of a catch. It's not something we're going to debunk.
Right. In fact, going back to Grant, and I did that this morning, but he actually wanted the raw footage of that catch because he wanted to put it through its paces.
Yep.
To see what's there. And I was talking with Debbie this morning about because she's the one that was holding the FLIR, so she's like up in the clouds about the fact that Grant Wilson wants to see something that she, was a part of catching. I think just because of the what he said during his presentation, like I'm almost wondering if it's like he's got like a personal type reason for wanting to look at it.
I don't know.
Let's just say for the sake of argument that what was caught is in fact an elemental.
Right.
He's going to
be excited.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He's going to be excited if it's an elemental. So,
But elementals in general, when it comes to cases, are unbelievably rare.
Right.
So to actually be able to catch footage, possible footage of one,
would be incredible.
I said legendary. I was trying to pump us up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Legendary. Sorry. Not incredible. It'd be legendary, and it really would be legendary because, in the scope of things, in a legitimate catch, not stuff you see that's manipulated through Photoshop and stuff, but in a legitimate catch, I've been in this for a long time. I honestly can tell you, I don't think that I've seen footage of an elemental before.
No,
I know. I've heard about them. I've done a lot of I've listened to a lot of people who are that's their focus, and they talk about them, and they're intelligent people, and they have a lot of really cool things to say about them. But I don't think I've ever caught footage of one or seen footage of an actual elemental. So we might just be bypassing the whole crew. They might just be having dinner with us next year at Paracon. We might just be handing who's coming into 218 with us.
Right. So for those, I don't want people to skip over any part of the episode, but so I'm not going to tell anybody where in the episode that footage actually is.
Right.
Because it is very important. Everything that goes into this show that we are going to show, whether it be, this episode or three episodes from now, I mean, there's so much stuff that goes into it. Not all of it can go into every single episode. So we have to pick and choose what we want to do. But everything that goes in is important. If you ever wanted to know what it's like to be an investigator or learn or see what investigators that you see on TV or whatnot at some point had to go through and learn, you're going to want to see this show. Absolutely. So, I mean, it is our hope that it can be picked up by an actual television show. And that's because, one, it needs to be shown. I mean, it needs to be seen. But it's something that we can do every season, not just with Dubuque. You know, season two could be a team in Bozeman, Montana, or, you know, Tucson, Arizona. I mean, it's just, it's putting a team, a trained team in place, where a town may not actually have one, or at least not have a trained team to represent them. There's probably going to be four or five teams of, you know, college students who want to do it for fun.
Right.
You know, but they're actually going to be more of a detriment to the field and their clients than they ever thought possible. But so, I mean, it is very, very important. And any investigator that I have talked to about this, or anyone that really loves the field, not one person has been like, you don't need to do that. Or, no, that's not needed. You know, I think it's something that needs to be shown. And I hope that people will really like it. It is a bit choppy because my video editor is all of $70. So don't think you're going to be getting some Hollywood type deal. But on YouTube, you just do a search for The Paranormal Project Dubuque. I try to just do The Paranormal Project thinking that, well, there's nothing else like that on YouTube. Boy, was I wrong.
Really?
Somebody tried to do a celebrity paranormal project. Obviously, it's not the same concept as us, but, you know, they just took that name.
Right.
So put in Dubuque. So The Paranormal Project Dubuque. It's the first thing that comes up. But if you want the exact link, you can go to our thing on Facebook, Odyssey Paranormal Society. Sooner or later, I'll have it up on our website. I can't believe I don't yet. But that's odysseyparanormalsociety.com. And Twitter, you can find, I posted it on Twitter, which is at Odyssey Director, one word. Go watch it if you have some time. I think you're really going to enjoy it, especially the personal experiences and especially the evidence that we show at the end.
I would agree, 100%.
So I've been doing a lot of talking here, so I'm going to shut up for the next couple minutes. And so your second favorite, or third, something we haven't talked about yet from this weekend.
Second favorite. Well, the crab leg buffet was good. I'll put that in.
Oh, yes.
Top three. So we did the seafood buffet on, what was that?
Friday. It was Friday.
Friday night, right? Yep. Friday night. Seafood buffet, $20. Other than a few miscues by the casino on some things.
Miscues?
They did have quite it was a crab buffet, and I will say this, every time I went up to get crab, it was plentiful and hot and fresh.
Okay, yes.
And I plowed through enough that the team left the table and were like, you know what, we're gonna let Dave just enjoy himself. As he bathes in crab, and then later tonight at the bar, we're gonna watch him come scurrying in sideways, in crab style fashion, as he comes up to the bar and looks for a glass of salt water. And it was pretty close, not quite that good, but it was close.
We weren't doing that to leave you in peace. We were doing that because we were sick of sitting there watching you eat, and we're like, screw him, let's go.
That was fine. You didn't offend me. I told you, I don't need company to eat. That I did. So it was good. So that was in there, you know. The speakers, you know, we got to see some different speakers. I really enjoyed that. I think that I think honestly, and as a positive critique, I think that the VIP dinner, just the entertainment portion of it, you know, besides the food and the entertainment, I mean, they can do better. You know what I mean? They either it wasn't rehearsed, or and it was just on the fly and it failed, or it was rehearsed and nobody critiqued it and they thought it was really good and it really wasn't. I mean, from a sitting in the audience type of standpoint. So, you know, that could have been better. Great turnout. I mean, it was constantly flowing. I thought that was fantastic. I expected Saturday to be busier than Friday. I was told by somebody it wasn't going to be. And Friday was busy. And then Saturday, it was really busy in the morning. Then it hit just a little tad bit of a lull. But in the afternoon all the way to close, it was, I mean, there were people at our booth nonstop. You know, yeah. What's this? What's that? You know, what, you know, can I see this? Can I see that? And one of the nice things we did is that we probably had the best spread of equipment, I think, hands down, of anybody there. And it was hands down. And it was nice that we let them pick up and hold and touch and play with basically every single piece that they were like, oh, my God, I saw this on TV, but I've never seen one before. And Mike and I were like, well, hey, pick it up. Put it in your hand, you know, play with it, look at it, feel it, touch it, see what it does. You know, that's what we're here for. That's why it's out on the table. And I think that a lot of people really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed them coming to our booth and getting to walk away with a lot of, it seemed like a lot of people to me had like, a void had been filled. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen.
I think that's a little much of a stretch, but
I don't think I know so. What you're saying. I mean, they were like, you know, I've seen this before. I've seen it before. I've seen it on TV. Yeah, it's a $1,500 piece of equipment. You know, yes, I mean, yes, God, we can't afford $1,500 on a piece of equipment. You know, but you can come see ours and you can hold it and you can turn it on and you can use it and in that respect, I think that we. As Odyssey provided them, provided the general population with something that they would not have gotten if we hadn't have been there. And I take some pride in that. I thought that was really good. And I know you do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, 100%. After a while, it kind of just became like, oh, I got to answer another question about what the REM pod does.
It was the JBL. Yeah,
well, that was the next thing I was going to say, or the fact that the JBL speaker wasn't the spirit box.
No, but how many people
I can't believe how many people grabbed the little JBL. It's just a little mini speaker.
Yep.
And was like, oh, you have a spirit box. I'm like, no, that's not the spirit box. It's right. Just a speaker.
Right. But I will say those for anybody who's listening, who investigates or wants to, those little JBLs that we have, those are absolutely phenomenal. If you're doing spirit box sessions, the quality of the sound will blow you away for a $35 puck speaker.
I agree. Yeah, just go to Amazon and do mini speaker. They should come up, and they're only like $30, but the quality is wonderful.
It's amazing.
Yes. So that's going to do it for tonight. We have about 30 seconds. So once again, just if you want to see this new show that we're working on, go to YouTube, do the Paranormal Project Dubuque, Dubuque. And watch it and let us know what you think, good or bad, and share it with your friends. Let's get it out there. Find us on Facebook, Odyssey Paranormal Society, odysseyparanormalsociety.com. You can find us on Twitter at Odyssey Director. That's pretty much me. So that's going to do us now for this week. Tune in next week. Hopefully we'll have one of our first awesome guests, and we'll go from there. But everybody have a good night.
Till next week.